This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad you're here with us today. I'm excited for our guest on the show, Miss Jill Savage. Jill, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
I'm so glad you're here. It's always fun to spend the holidays with friends, and that's what I feel like we're doing. And for those of you, that. Jill, I feel like you've been on the podcast before. Have we done this before?
I think maybe early on we did one. It's been a while.
So why don't I introduce you again in case, since you and I can't remember. Our listeners might not be able to remember either. But Jill is an author and speaker who is passionate about encouraging families. She is the author or co-author of 14 books, including Professionalizing Motherhood, My Heart's at Home, Real Moms, Real Jesus, Living with Less So Your Family Has More, No More Perfect Moms, No More Perfect Marriages, and her most recent release, Empty Nest, Full Life. Featured on Focus on the Family, Crosswalk.com, Family Life Today, and Today's Christian Woman magazine, Jill is the founder of Hearts at Home, an organization that encouraged moms from 1994 till 2017. Jill and her husband, Mark, have 5 children and 8 grandchildren, and they make their home in Normal, Illinois. And just a fun fact, Jill, I read that you love peanut butter, like on everything in every way, but you hate nuts in anything.
That's right. It's a it's a texture thing, Katie. It's a texture thing. So I'll eat a handful of nuts, but don't put nuts in cookies or brownies because they mess with the texture of a good cookie or a good brownie.
Okay, I'm assuming that goes like for fudge as well.
Oh yeah, you would ruin fudge if you put nuts in it.
And you know, growing up, so that was a tradition in my house around Christmas time. My mom would always make fudge. And she would honestly make half a plate of fudge with nuts and half a plate of fudge without nuts because there was division in the home among whether or not fudge should have nuts in it. And I will tell you, I fell on the side of, yes, there should be nuts in the fudge. So you and I would have to have a divided plate of fudge.
Yes, we would. That's great.
That's just one of those things I remember growing up, you know, one of those fun little traditions. We only had fudge at Christmas time. And that's kind of what we want to talk about today. If you saw the title of our episode, it's called Praying Through Change During the Holidays. And when we talk about change, that can mean so many things during the holiday season. But I had the chance to talk with Jill. I mean, it's been several years now since we had this conversation. But she talked about some of the ways that she has learned to handle change around the holiday season, because it feels like somehow, Jill, change is harder to deal with during the holidays. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I do. I do, because I think that traditions really connect us to home and emotions and just even the magic that we kind of want to create in our family and when we're all together. So I think that it's harder just because of all of those traditions.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's not as big of a deal even, you know, oftentimes, like even your summer vacation and changes to that aren't as difficult to deal with, as what you are used to doing around the holiday season. And so, Jill, I know that you have encountered a lot of changes over the years in your family and around the holidays. So tell me about some of the ways you have experienced change during the holidays.
Well, you know, I think that change naturally happens as our kids get older. And so number one, we need to expect it. And I think a lot of times we don't. Mm-hmm. We think that it's always going to be this way. And, you know, you can't, even as the kids get older, oh, it's going to mean so much for them to come home and do the same things that we've done, you know, their whole growing up years. But you forget that they're going to possibly have a significant other in their life at some point, you know, late high school, in college, boyfriends and girlfriends, maybe even fiancés start to enter the scene. Eventually, it's possible that they get married and they leave. And so all of that contributes to change. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to first expect that change will happen as the kids get older. We just may not know how it's going to happen. So so one of the first things that I found was helpful as my kids got older is, you know, there were a lot of traditions that we did around the holidays, and I assumed everybody loved them all and wanted to continue them all.
Of course. Why wouldn't they?
And so, you know, I'm like killing myself, right, to make all the food that everybody loves and to do all the things. And then I don't remember how, but in one of the conversations with one of my kids, they said something about not particularly caring whether we had a certain food or didn't have a certain food. And I was like, really? I mean, it was like a wake up call. And I was like, serious? And so I remember I sent out a family text and I said, okay, if you could only have one of your favorite foods at Thanksgiving, what would it be? And if you would only have one of your favorite foods at Christmas, what would it be? And they were very, I mean, everybody had their opinions, but they were very clear. And there were some things that we had always had that nobody had on their list. And I was like, okay, I'm only going to do what's most important to the ones that I love. And it really simplified things. Mm-hmm. So I'm a firm believer in a holiday audit.
Oh, I love and, it.
Yeah. I mean, just audit your family. Ask them, what are the favorite things that we do at you know, for this holiday or that holiday? And what are the favorite foods that you want to have for this holiday or that holiday? And it would just be amazed at some of the things that aren't on there. So that was really, really helpful for me.
And, you know, I even did that with my kiddos. We had, okay, and I really don't know why, but for some reason, it seemed just so wonderful to me for us to make gingerbread houses. Okay. And I don't know why. I'm not a crafty person. I don't recall making gingerbread houses when I was a kid, but for some reason I felt like we as a family should make gingerbread houses every year. And then this year I asked my kids, hey, what do y'all think about making a gingerbread house? I mean, do you want to do it? Do you not want to do it? And they were all kind of like, take it or leave it. Like, mom, if you want to do it, we'll do it, you know? But if we don't do it, we're okay. And I was like, okay, well, I don't want to do it if you don't want to do it. And it was so funny. It was almost like they were just trying to be polite and go along with building the gingerbread house. And we all thought it meant something to the other person, and nobody really cared. It was just such an eye-opening moment.
Oh my goodness. That's a perfect example of, you know, you just simplified your holidays right there, Katie. Because yes. I've done gingerbread houses, and quite frankly, they are stressful.
Yes, they are. And we're going to get to that in a minute, because ultimately that's the thread that we're trying to pull, which is what happens when we don't prayerfully address change during the holidays, and how it kind of leaves us emotionally, and what it takes from us, really. During this Christmas season. But before we get to that, let's talk about a few more of the changes that you mentioned, even with the kids getting older and maybe not even coming to Christmas dinner or something like that, because I know you've experienced that, right?
Yeah, I have. So yeah, this is when I think our youngest was in college. Three of our older kids were married, one still single, and then our youngest was in college. And we had a holiday coming up where, so my oldest daughter, they alternate holidays with her husband's family and us. So like 1 year we get them for Thanksgiving, 1 year we don't. And so this was going to be the year that they were not going to be at our house. Our other daughter and her husband were, they have his family in town. And I knew that they always have to, on Thanksgiving Day, they have to like divide time between both families. We had two sons that were out of town and they were so far away, they weren't going to be able to come home for the holidays. And that left our youngest son, who had a fiance, and her family also was in town. And I knew that they were going to be dividing time. And so Mark and I talked about it a little bit and said, okay, so the two kids that we have in town are going to be dividing time between their, either their spouse or their significant other's family. What if we just give them freedom this year? And Mark was like, well, what are you thinking? And I said, we have no expectations of anybody being here on Thanksgiving. And he was like, wow, that would be a big change. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I know it would be a huge change, but it would be a gift to them. Mm-hmm. Like it would be a gift to give them. And so we ended up calling it that we were going to choose to give them the gift of holiday freedom. Mm-hmm. That's exactly, we titled it that. We said, we're going to give you the gift of holiday freedom. And so we just said, you know, we're not going to do anything on Thanksgiving. You just enjoy it with the other side of the family. And Mark and I, in fact, we had not spent Thanksgiving with our mothers or our parents in many, many, many years. And so we actually made the decision to go to our hometown of Indianapolis, Indiana, and actually spend time with our parents and on that holiday, because we sometimes they would come over and spend it with us, but we hadn't been back home for a Thanksgiving mm-hmm. holiday in a long, long, long time. And then we told our kids, hey, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we're having pizza. And if you want, come over and we'll have our own family Thanksgiving, but without traditional Thanksgiving food, because really it's just about gathering. Mm-hmm. And so we did, we had non-traditional food. We, whoever wanted to come on Saturday came, and really it was a shift, a mind shift for me of letting go of what I felt like should happen on that fourth Thursday. But also I gave them the freedom to not even come that Saturday. Mm-hmm. Like if they had something else or whatever. And you know what I found in giving them freedom? I set my heart free from bitterness. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. I set my heart free in acceptance. So just either just accepting the reality of life, sometimes it we can't all gather. And I'm going to be grateful for when we can and for whoever can be there. But I'm not going to be bitter about whoever is missing. Mm.
And that's something that you did in your own heart. And I, you know, yes. what the word that keeps coming up to me is expectation. And you know, yes. at the beginning you said, let's expect change. And what I'm hearing right now is that you removed the burden of your expectations from other people. And yes. in doing so, you even created freedom and space in your own heart that wasn't there before.
Yes. Yes. Now, I'll tell you what, Katie, this took a lot of prayer. Okay. This yeah. took a lot of surrendering yeah. prayer. I had to surrender my own desires. I had to surrender control. Mm-hmm. I had to surrender my own selfishness, quite frankly. And in doing so, were there some losses? Sure, there were. But I think there were more gains.
Okay.
I really do. And the like, for instance, I feel like I am safe for my children to tell me that they can't come to something. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. we just had a scenario not too long ago, and our family doesn't get to gather very often. In fact, we have a son that lives overseas. He lives in Australia. Mm-hmm. And so we don't, you know, I mean, it's been a long time since we've all been together as a family. We have a son that has a lot of mental health issues, and he often doesn't come to family gatherings because of his anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so, I think the beautiful thing that we have gained, though, is the freedom for them to say, I can't be there. Mm-hmm. And to not get asked 20 questions, mm-hmm. and to not get shamed, and to not get guilted. My response is, oh, well, thank you for letting me know you're going to be missed. We love you, but we totally understand, and you have to do what's right for you. That's a gift.
And like you mentioned, that it's not just words coming out of your mouth. You actually believe it, mean it from your heart. But that took a lot of, that wasn't something that you just came up with. That was something that required you to go to God over and over and over in prayer and let Him do that work in you, so that when you say that, we're sorry, you'll be missed, but you know, you have to do what is best for you. You actually mean it. Because I do think that we can say things like that and think that I'm probably supposed to say that. I was listening to Katie and Jill on that podcast, and that's awesome. You know, that's supposed to be the right way, you know, to pray through change at the holidays, but we really don't mean it. And the bitterness is still there and the hurt is still there, because those things can be attached to change during the holidays that you really wished it had been differently. So tell me about the heart process involved, Jill.
Yeah. Well, I think that you're exactly right, Katie. We have to work through it in our own heart. And even though I've major worked through that, I can tell you, I can still get snagged. Like, I'll use a really recent situation. My mother was visiting. Now, my mom is 83 years old, and she had come over to visit. And so she had come over to visit with our son and his wife, who were an hour away. And on her way back through, I said, well, why don't you have lunch with us, and I'll invite all the kids that are in town to come join us for lunch. And one of my kids said, I am at the end of myself. Like, they'd had a really rough weekend, a rough emotional weekend. And she said, I just don't think I can be there. And I was frustrated. I was frustrated because I'm thinking, well, I don't know that your grandmother's going to be here for very much longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, she's in her 80s. She's in great health, but we don't know how long mm-hmm. we're going to have with someone, right? And so I want to go there, and I want to say that. Mm-hmm. I want to say, well, I don't know how long your grandmother is going to be around, and I don't know how many more trips she'll make over here. And don't you think that you could, you know, that's where I want to go. Mm-hmm. But I have to go, Jill, this child is an adult. They have a pretty low capacity in life, meaning that they can't spin very many plates before they get overwhelmed. And you need to accept that reality. So the first thing I had to do is I had to forgive Katie. Mm-hmm. That is the first step of that heart posture and that heart transformation, is I had to forgive. Because I felt like she was making a poor choice. Mm-hmm. And so I had to have something to do with that feeling. And our tendency is to try and control and change that person.
Yes.
Right? And so I was like, no, that's not what I, and honestly, the old me would have tried to do that. You know, I've made a lot of transitions in my life, particularly in the last 10 years. And so the old me would have tried to do that, but the new me knew, nope, Jill, you got to work through this in your own heart. So I had to forgive. So literally there was a moment where I hung up the phone from her. And after I'd had that conversation with her, and I said, Lord, this really disappoints me. Mm-hmm. This breaks my heart, but I'm going to choose to forgive. And I'm going to choose to put this in your hands. Mm. And so that's the heart posture that gets us to a place of being able to accept. Mm. And that forgiveness is a part of surrender. Like, you know, I'm gonna take this out of my hands and put it into your hands. Mm-hmm. And so I would, you know, then that surrendering is what allows us to eventually get to a place where we can actually have that peace. You know, the Bible talks about that we get a peace that passes understanding. And I actually, even though I was disappointed, even though I was sad, I still had a peace in my heart because I'd done the heart work to get me to a place of being able to accept that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I'm listening to what you're saying, I'm remembering a time several years ago in my life where it was honestly, it's exactly what you're talking about, except opposite, in that my family and I were the ones away from the first 13 years of my husband and I's marriage. We traveled and lived in different cities because of his career in the NFL, and we were never around family at Christmas or Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And he worked Christmas Day and Thanksgiving Day, people play football games on those days, you know? They weren't like the typical, our life just didn't look like everybody else's where you get a week off for Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know? And so there was one particular year we had just moved a few months before the holiday season. And we were off on our own in this city, you know, states and states away from our families. Mm-hmm. And we were going into the holidays and I felt very alone because mm-hmm. of the nature of having just moved to this new place, not even really having friends or right. community there, and then being away from family. And I dealt with wanting people to come to us on a holiday so that we could do those things that you have in your head that maybe you did as a kid or the Hallmark movies show happen, you know, and yes. it's all so pretty and warm and lovely. And that particular year for me, my husband and our children, in my heart, it didn't feel warm and full of joy and full of, you know, laughter and love, like all of the images that were in my head and then even in front of my eyes. And mm-hmm. what I realized was that my expectations of other people that I had hoped would come to us, and it didn't work out because they had other things, you know, they had parents, like you mentioned, or other children to celebrate with. And what I learned is that really my feelings of disappointment or frustration were as much about what I was feeling that I was really hoping they would feel, when yes. the only person who could handle those feelings, who could fill those places in my heart, was Jesus. And so I was really yes. asking someone else to do for me what only he could do for me. And that's a lot of what I'm even hearing you say about when we turn to him first with those feelings, because so often we are feeling something that we could be looking to someone else to fix or change or fill when yeah. he's the only one who can.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And there's another angle to this too. And that is, you could have assigned meaning to the fact that they didn't come your way. You could have said, well, then that means they don't love me, or that means they don't care. Or you could have made their actions about you, when really they weren't about you at all. They were about logistics. Mm-hmm. They were about, you know, that there were other options for them to do and they had to just make a decision. And when our identity is not in Jesus, we very easily make circumstances about us. Mm-hmm. And we use circumstances to define our value and our worth mm-hmm. and our identity. Mm-hmm. And that is a very dangerous place to be. Mm-hmm. And it's not healthy for relationships. And it's not healthy for us, because our value is in who we are in Christ. Mm-hmm. Our value is defined by God, not whether somebody comes to Thanksgiving or Christmas or not. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Our value is defined by Christ, not whether somebody accepts our invitation to come to our house for Thanksgiving or Christmas, or whether we're invited or we're not invited. Mm-hmm. None of that gives us value. Mm-hmm. Our value is in Jesus only. And so when we're looking for other things to bring that value to us, we're going to end up not in a good place emotionally, and we're also not going to end up in a good place relationally.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when you that reminds me of another year when, yet, you know, more of those feelings, like we weren't going to be able to go to the Christmas Eve service because my husband was working and we were in a new place again, and we really had no plans for Christmas. It was just, we had a tree up and I had put ornaments mm-hmm. on the tree, and then our new cat ran under the tree and my kids tried to get him and the whole tree fell over. And you can only imagine, right? And so my six little ones, I had to just sit them all in a row because there was glass everywhere and I didn't want people to. So they're all lined up in a row sitting down while I try to decide how I'm going to get this tree back up and clean up the mess. And I mean, it really was like Christmas came tumbling down, right? And in that moment, right. One of my kids said, one of my little ones who, you know, just in all innocence said something like, will there be Christmas this year? Because they were looking at a tree on the ground and ornaments broken. And it convicted my heart because I had been kind of grumpy because Christmas wasn't going to be, you said the word supposed to earlier, it mm-hmm. wasn't going to be what I thought it was supposed to be because my husband wasn't going to be able to join us for the Christmas Eve service, and nobody was coming over for Christmas dinner, and we didn't have any big plans or any, it wasn't going to be what it was supposed to be. And when that baby asked that question, will there be Christmas this year? It convicted me and grabbed a hold, the Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of my heart to say, yes, yes, no matter what, Christmas is God with us. Emmanuel left heaven and came to earth. We will always be able to celebrate Christmas no matter what it mm-hmm. looks like here, whether there's a tree on the ground or whether the tree is standing straight up, whether all of the traditions are here or whether they are not. Jesus yep. still came. He was still born. And we can, Christmas will always be celebrated because it doesn't yes. depend on what it looks like in our ways of celebrating. Jesus came, mm-hmm. the angels announced that he was born, and God came to be with us. Emmanuel was yes. born. And so it's just a reminder that even when all of the change surrounds us, and it's not easy, don't ever want to act yes. like it is, but it doesn't change that we can celebrate and rejoice at Christmas because Jesus was born. And that's the only reason and that won't change. And that won't change.
That is correct. And that's why when our focus is on circumstances, traditions, things having to look a certain way, those can change mm-hmm. at the drop of a hat. Yes. But when our eyes on Jesus, you know, God's word says that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yes.
And he will never change. And so we have to steady ourselves emotionally by keeping our eyes on him.
So good. Jill, thank you for sharing so much of what you have learned with us. I have been encouraged by this conversation, and I pray that you who are listening have also been encouraged. And no matter where you are today with change during your holiday season, I pray that you heard something that helps today be your best day ever. Thanks for joining us.